Good morning, everyone. I am looking forward to sharing with you today. And first, I want to say thank you, Fred. Really appreciate those words and how powerful they were. I want to also say thank you to those that helped with the Gold Star ministry that we were able to be a part of this Friday, or Thursday and Friday. It really helped bring home faces to what you had to say. I know that we had about seven families come, and they were all strangers to us. We didn't know them, and I had a wonderful team of folks that helped connect to them, and as we went through the activities, at the end of the night, those folks wanted to give us a hug. A stranger felt touched as we recognized the loss that they had and helped share their burden. And I look forward to growing this ministry, of being a part of an event going on that the leadership are really trying to help bring that message across, of that there's someone that has paid a dear price for the freedom that we have. And so we look forward to seeing that, how that grows, and maybe you'll be a part of that next year as we seek to add to the events that go on. Today, our pastor had been preaching a series on the relationships during the month of May, and we looked at parents, at mothers and dads and children, and he asked me to speak on the role of a grandparent. And I am honored to be a rookie at grandparent. I've only been a grandparent for 4 years, but I am learning how great it is to be grand. And as I've looked at other grandparents, I've noticed something that they have, something wonderful, something that every one of us need, even if we're not a grandparent. There is a trait that they somehow naturally seem to possess that looks at children a little differently than they did as a parent. And I truly can relate to that. As a grandparent, we don't have the responsibility of the outcome. You know, we don't have that burden necessarily of where they're going to go. We can look at them differently. And our perspective on life has changed. And those things that were important to us as a parent may not be quite as important as a grandparent. And we recognize other things are more important. I remember when I became a parent and would take my children home. We've lived away from my mom more than a state for most of our lives. We've never been close, so it was always just a few visits. And when I would go, I would notice there was this change that had came over my mother. She wasn't the lady that I had when I was growing up. She had four boys, and my wife, dear Miss Peggy, would always say, "Oh, your mom is so sweet." And I go, "No, she was a drill sergeant." I don't know what's happened to her, but it's not the same lady. And I would fuss at her and say, "Mom, you're trying to raise them differently than what I did, way you raised me." And I didn't realize that she was the right one. That there is a trait that every one of us need. And so today my challenge is to help give you something simple, three words that I believe will change your life. It'll change those around you. As we begin, I need your help. I want you to turn to a neighbor and share with them a phrase that you feel like needs to be repeated every day. You know, our world is filled with phrases that we say over and over and over again. Important phrases we need. So think about it and share a few with one another. You've got lots of phrases. And so what are some that you shared? Someone shout out one.
I love you.
I love you. Okay, that's an important one. What else? God bless you. Okay, what else? Appreciate you, yeah. Now, what about some of those more practical ones? You know, you've said those meaningful ones that we'd like to say, but we say those aren't what we often say. You know, if the children are here, what's some things your mom says to you over and over and over again? Be good. Stop. Set up straight. Eat your vegetables. Or we say, watch your step. You know, but that's so important. Hey, watch your step. You know, I watched it yesterday, but I still have to watch it again today. Those things that we need to repeat over and over and over again. I looked through a list. You know, the internet is filled with all kinds of lists and categories, and I found several that talked about the most 100 most important phrases to say to one another. These are some of those. You know, this too shall pass. Another one that's so important that I didn't hear any of you say, you are welcome. You are welcome. Here's another one that's very important, so pertinent today. Remember, keep your eyes on the road. Another one that's in the list is, you can do it. I appreciate you. I'm sorry. Did any of you put that in your list that you shared? Phrases that we need to repeat over and over again. I am sorry. I am proud of you. I believe in you. Even the simple phrase, how are you? And then there's some that we need to say to ourselves, like, today is a good day. I'll stay calm. It will get better. Today I will be courageous. But out of all the list, I looked and looked and looked, and never did I find this simple three-word phrase on anyone's list. And yet, it is so important. I think it's more important than every one of those that we've said. It's a phrase that I've been practicing in my own life and saying it, and it's had such a powerful impact in my life. It's a phrase that is like an old antique. An antique laying right out in the open. It's one that we look right over, we step right over, and we miss it, and yet it is still so valid and needed today. What is that phrase? Do you think you know what it is? I want to read some scripture. First, I want to read the grandparent verse that's listed in your Bible. That's in Proverbs 17:6. Grandchildren are the crown of the elderly, and the pride of sons is their fathers. Grandchildren are a crown to me. I'm not their crown to them. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we can call you Father. That through Jesus Christ, that relationship can be established. And we become your children. And you love us with a love that is incomparable. And yet it is a love that you tell us to duplicate. Help us to learn today to be like you. Help us to act like you. Help us to hear from you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So as I sit here on this stool, and there is a purpose for it, it is driving me crazy trying to stay on this stool, but hopefully by the end you'll catch on to what I'm trying to visually communicate to you and to share with you about this wonderful phrase. Now you may have a guess where we'll find that phrase. It's in, Paul wrote about it, and what book do you think it's in? First Corinthians. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you don't have a Bible, take a pew Bible and turn there. It's the passage that we look at over and over and over again, and we read through the whole list, and we go bang, 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 bang. and we get it and we go, wow, that's wonderful, that's great. We've made the mistake of so often using it just in weddings, and that is a big, big mistake, because it's not just for a husband or wife. This is the foundation of love to everyone. And what I believe is that the order of these, of this list, is important. In this passage, Paul will give 15 facets of the word love. 15 actual verbs is what's used in the Greek to describe what love does, what love is. Let's look at that list. It's found in, begins in verse 4. I've been so busy looking at you, I forgot to turn my Bible there. All right, here we go. Verse 4. Love is patient. Stop. Love is patient. You see, too often we read it this way. Love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, is not boastful, is not conceited, does not act improperly, is not selfish, is not provoked. Oh, wow, it does not keep any record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But nothing sticks. And I believe this list of 15 traits is meant to be memorized, meant to be acted upon, meant to pause and get the first one and not move on till you do. Love is patient. Love is patient. Love is patient. I can't tell you how powerful it is to say that over and over again. When the alarm goes off, love is patient today. During the night when someone's making more noises than the alarm clock, they say, love is patient. When I pull up to the stoplight, love is patient. Three words. Three words, if you will write them down and etch them in your heart and use them over and over and over again, will change the world. We look around us and no one is practicing this. It's like what happened to Paul. Paul was writing to a group of people who had no patience. They were not this way. In fact, the Greek culture looked down upon patience. And Paul says, love is patient. To those of you who are young and not married yet, those of you who have wondered, what is love? And does that person love me? Here is the most obvious test to listen to. If you're not married, look at me, stare at me. Remember this. When someone looks at you and says they love you and they're not patient, they're lying. Love is patient. Love will not ask you to do something that goes against your character. Love will never say, I love you, but I can't wait. Love is patient. Get that down. Grandparents, the words you need to be saying to your grandchildren is over and over again, remember, don't ever believe anyone if they're not patient. Love is patient. We have to get that down. Love is patient. But what if there's not patience within? What do we do then? How do we deal with the lack of patience? You see, because in us, we may want to be, but what if it's not there? And I believe that it comes from the source of God. That God is, that through Jesus Christ, there is a what that passes understanding? A peace. And see, I realized in my life, one reason why I was so often not patient was because I didn't have the peace within. You can't be patient without peace. You need the peace of God. As I said, the Corinthians did not have, they were impatient, discontented, envious, inflated, selfish, and unmindful of the feelings and interests of others. They were suspicious, resentful as well. And Paul is saying, first of all, learn to be patient. That's why I'm sitting on this stool. Because it's not in my character to be still when I preach. And it's driving me crazy. But you see, love is a choice. It's not something that you fall into. It's not something that automatically, oh, I couldn't help myself. Love is a choice. Like I'm having to choose to stay on this stool. And you see, the way that you have the power to do that comes from Romans chapter 6. So flip over to that. You see, because my nature is not to be patient. My nature is not to be calm and still, but to be moving around and to be animated. And so something has to happen. And this is what Jesus says needs to take place in our life. That Jesus died for us and we are to die to self. In Romans chapter 6, in verse 3, it says, "Are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life." Verse 6, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that sin's dominion over the body may be abolished, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin." Verse 11, "So you too consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." I have to die to myself. I have to die to my nature and let Christ live within me. But it's still a choice. You see, Jesus sets us free from the power that keeps us from being patient, but the choice is still mine then to take on his character, to choose to be patient. It's like the lame man that was by the pool when Jesus, in chapter 5 of John, it talks about the pool where there was all the sick people laying around because an angel would come down once in a while and stir the waters, and when the waters were stirred, the first person to get into the pool would be made well. And there is a man that's been sick for 38 years. 38 years he's not been able to walk. And he's laying there, and Jesus sees him and knows how long he's been there, and he says to him, "Sir, do you want to be made well?" What an odd question. Do you want to be made well? And the man's reply is to give an excuse. He doesn't answer the question if he says, "I don't have anybody to get me in the water. When the water is stirred, I'm laying here, I'm trying to get there, but someone beats me there, and I can't make it." And Jesus says to him, "Stand up, take your bed, and walk." We don't know exactly what happened, but I believe the man's legs didn't suddenly become strong and automatically stand up. Jesus presented to him the choice, and he had to choose. I choose in faith to stand up. I don't have patience, but I can make the choice to be patient. Love is a choice. Love is patient. And our time is running out, and I'm not going to try to go through all the others, but I do want to look at the end. I'm reminded of my days in college, long ago before computers were in homes or dorm rooms. And we had all these books that we had to keep up. And then in our dorm room, we had just this big shelf, and it was just this long open shelf. And we had what was called bookends. Now, those of you who are young and have been growing up in the world of computers probably don't even know what a bookend is or what the purpose is. But see, when you have a big stack of books, if you put a small book on the end, the whole stack is going to fall over. You need a big book on both ends that can support the weight of the middle. And I believe that's what we've got in this passage. The first bookend is love is patient. Look what the last bookend is. Go back to the verse in verse 8. Love never ends. Love never ends. Love is a choice. In Colossians, if we had time, we would look there, and it would say in Colossians 3:14, above all things, put on love. It's a choice, like you got dressed this morning, and you put on clothes. Love is a choice. Love is patient, and love never ends. Those are the two bookmarks. And you see what it tells me is? The last one tells me how long I'm to be patient. The last one tells me how long I'm to be patient. It tells me how long I'm to be kind. I've sinned every time I've told my kids I've run out of patience. I was wrong. Because love never ends. God expects his people to be patient continuously. Being patient doesn't mean that you let someone walk all over you. Being patient is an attitude in action. It keeps you from being angry and reacting in a harsh way. Love is patient. Love never ends. Do you have patience? Have you found yourself lacking patience as we've talked about this? The answer is to die to self. Remember that Christ died for you, and here are some of the purposes of making Jesus your Savior and Lord, that his power would live within you to make the right choice. As we conclude today, what three words do I want you to say over and over again? Say them out loud. Can you say it one more time? Can you say it one more time? Doesn't it feel good saying the word of God? Love is patient. Let us go and practice that patience today. Let's pray. What power there is in your word, Lord. What simplicity, oh, but the depth of that word. Father, Jesus Christ was patient with us in that while we were sinners, he died in our place. Lord, we recognize that so often our lives are filled with being impatient. Forgive us, Lord. I pray that you would fill us with your spirit and that we would be your servants and that we would choose to be patient, remembering that love never ends. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. It's good to get off the stool. You. And that you will respond, most of all, not by the end of the service, but by being patient with those around you. Be patient with me. Be patient with one another. Let us stand and respond.